Some of you know this story, and so I'm asking for a little grace from you towards me this morning. And for those of you who don't, buckle up. I was born and raised in a very religious home, and it was Catholic, and we're Italian Catholics. If you're not from a Catholic Italian family, that translates into Scandinavian Lutheran in the best possible sense. That's what it's like. And long about 10th grade, I began to date a girl who was not Italian and not Catholic. And we enjoyed each other's company, and she began to tell me about her personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to be honest with you, at the end of our junior year, when she really laid it on the line and shared the gospel with me pretty straight up, I can look back and say that now, it was very similar to some of the things that I had known growing up, but not completely. I wasn't a believer at the time, so I wasn't able to see a lot of the differences. But what she said, by God's grace, was maybe you should talk to my dad. He knows a lot more about this than I do. And once again, by God's grace, my response was, well, I want to make sure that I'm doing it for me rather than just to impress you. So long about, back then it's about 3 months between end of school year and beginning of school year, June, July, yeah, that's about right. The day before my senior year in high school, I approached the gentleman, her father, who completely intimidated me at the time. I was scared to death of him. But I said, do you think we could have that talk right now? And I remember very specifically her mom and she and her brother, who were all in the living room watching, we were all watching TV together, just vacated the premises as quick as any human being I've ever seen move out of that room into their rooms to pray. And he grabbed this big, not the lounge chair, but the big standard chair and pulled it over to my seat and proceeded for the next 4 hours to preach the gospel to me. So now you know where I get it from. And they're both sitting right there. Now, he preached the gospel to me for 4 hours. And at the end of those 4 hours, in a very fumbling kind of way, I committed my life to Christ. It was a very powerful moment, very emotional. A lot of things happened there. And I'm telling you that side of the story, that side of what happened to me as I became a believer in Christ, because I believe our scripture today informs us a little bit more about God's perspective on what happened that evening. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you know him as your personal Savior, you probably have a similar story. There was probably some human involved in influencing you towards following Jesus Christ, whether it was a preacher on the radio, whether it was Dr. Billy Graham, whether it was your then-girlfriend, now-spouse, whoever it was. Most likely you have something similar. If you haven't crossed the line yet into salvation by faith in Jesus Christ at the cross, there's probably somebody in your life who is praying for you and God is using to influence you that way. But from God's perspective and what he's doing, I believe our scripture speaks directly into that, because God graciously brings people into an intimate relationship with him through the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. That's why God had Paul write the letter to the Romans. God graciously brings people into an intimate relationship with him through the gospel. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. We unpack 12 and 13, Romans 8, 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. First of all, because God graciously brings people into an intimate relationship with and through the gospel, Christians, followers of Christ, ought to be or are all in. Now, I know that for Northwestern Minnesotan older Norwegians, all in means tired, beyond, we're just, it's all in. Pack it in, we're done for the day. I'm not using all in that way. I'm using it in younger generation Texas Hold'em poker way. All in. All the chips are on the table. We're not calling, we're not checking, and I don't expect anybody here to know what I'm talking about. We're all in. Christians are all in because God graciously brings us in. And it says here, you have to read it very carefully. We should always read Scripture very carefully. For all who are being led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. Beloved, the context that we've been dealing with here in Romans 8 and 7 and 6 a little bit, but Romans 8 has been a verses, flesh versus spirit. For all who indicates for us that Christians or children of God, sons of God, are not the entire human race. There are those who are being led by the flesh, and they are not sons and daughters of Almighty God. We're all in. Now, I'm going to unpack that a little bit more in a minute, thanks to a conversation I had with a young man sitting on the front row. But the for all who indicates for us that he's talking about a particular group of people, and he calls them the sons of God. Being led by the Spirit. I know that kind of our normal understanding of what it means to be led by the Spirit means to be influenced or guided by Him in all of our actions and the things that we do. But that's not the context here. You know, whether or not it's some kind of mystical, emotional experience that we have with the Holy Spirit, you know, we kind of stick our finger up into the wind and say, oh, which way is the Spirit blowing? No, that's not the context here. That's not what it means by being led by the Spirit, but rather the context, especially as we look at 12 and 13, for if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 5:18. Keep your finger in Romans, but turn quickly to Galatians 5:18. Similar context. We read this last week. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Rather, what's going on here back in Romans 8:14, being led by the Spirit is a whole life approach. A whole life approach to understanding what it means to be a Christian. Dominated by the Spirit. Under God's control. No longer under the law. Romans 8 began that way. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son. You and I, if we have come to faith in Christ, are sons and daughters of God. We are God's people. You can go home and look up Exodus chapter 4, verses 21 through 23, where God tells Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh, and he lets Moses communicate with Pharaoh the fact that Israel is his son. And because you have enslaved and killed my son, Pharaoh, I'm going to come and take yours. The angel of death came as a relationship of God to his children and what Pharaoh had been doing to his sons and daughters. That's Exodus 4. Or you can look up Jeremiah 3:19, where God is declaring through Jeremiah his judgment upon his children, his father and son. Isaiah 64 verse 8. We're going to turn there because this will have relevance when we finally get to Romans 9. By the way, I remember last year, fair weekend, we were in Romans like the end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2. So we're making great progress. We're making awesome progress. Isaiah 64. And verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. The relationship of the clay to the potter to the clay is one of father to children. They are God's people. The context back in Romans chapter 8 definitely applies here in that manner. What God is doing in Romans 8 as we are driving there, Romans 8, 28 and 29, is calling us by through his grace and through his action in our life to make us to be more like his beloved son, Jesus Christ. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. And then verse 29 informs us that that purpose and why they work together for good to the called and the elect of God is because he is conforming us to Christ, his son. The son of God. We are a son of God. That is his design, his will for our lives, beloved. So let me ask, who or what in all reality, if you took an honest evaluation or picture of your life, who is it that runs the whole of your life? What is it that determines your life? Is it you? Are you in charge? Do you make the decisions? Are you the one that is supreme in your life? Is it your will, your intellect, your understanding of things? Is it the culture? Are you influenced when you go shopping to the degree that you have to have those shoes and that shirt because that is what determines who you are as a person? And you just don't feel good about yourself unless you have that shirt or those shoes. Is it the culture? Is it your friends? Do you go to school and participate in sports, or do you go to work and, you know, you had to watch that show because you know everybody's going to be talking about it on Monday morning and you got to watch the Super Bowl because, you know, the whole world watches it. Is it your friends that are determinative over your life and how it is that you live? Is it the media? Do you fret and fumble because of what's going on in the Middle East or the price of oil or the stock market or whenever, you know, the White House speaks? I don't know how the White House speaks, but the White House speaks. Do you determine your entire life because of those kinds of things? Are they the supreme influence, the determining factor of your life? Is it the government? Is it the law? And here, I'm not talking about law enforcement. I'm talking more about God's law. Are you legalistic? Is it that you are determined, I won't do this because God's word says don't do that. I do this because God's word. That's insufficient, beloved. That's just as much of a trouble. Or is it the Spirit of God that determines? Using all of those other things, which is supreme? In all reality, what determines your life? Because, beloved, Christians are all in. Because God graciously brings us into an intimate relationship with him through his gospel. So Christians are all in. And then, it's wonderful. I love it. I love the next verse. Observe the family resemblance. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again. That's not our spirit. The context of the passage, especially 8 verse 3, tells us that we were in bondage to the law. But God has set us free from that bondage of sin and death and brought us into a new relationship. For we have not received a spirit of slavery that leads to fear again. You can look up Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15, which talk about the fear that death brings for those who are under the law. But you have received a spirit of adoption as sons. Last week on Saturday, when we were celebrating the 125th, Andrew, Michael, and myself had to come to church to unlock her and get some things done. And we were having a conversation about Michael's upcoming, the Stuhog's family. They're seeking adoption. They're adopting a little girl. They're in the process. We've prayed about that. You know that. And so I asked Michael if he knew that the Bible talked about adoption. No, that's not how the conversation started. Yes, it is. And he said, oh, really? I said, yes, it does. I said, Michael, I said, are you a child of the God? Are you a child of God? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, why? He said, because I was created in the image of God. And I said, wrong. He looked at me, what? Huh? So I decided to ask a few other people, are you a child of God? Yes. Why? Because I was created in the image of God. Okay. And there were basically, now it's not an official Pew survey. You get it? Pew survey. But I asked a few people, and I got one of two answers. And they're not bad answers. That's not a bad answer, but it's insufficient. Created in God's image, or the answer is because God loves me. I'm a child of God, which isn't wrong. But, beloved, beware of that. It's right and true, but we need to be careful. You see, because Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Adam and Eve sinned, and the fall occurred, and you and I are offspring of Adam in his likeness, fallen human beings. If we say the answer to the question, are you a child of God, and the answer is because I was created in the image of God, you are one step away from everybody being saved. Universalism, because all humanity bears the resemblance to Adam in his fallen nature as a child of God. But the text clearly indicates here, not all are children of God. Because God loves me. Yeah, that's absolutely true. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You and I like to put our own names in there, and that corrupts that text. God loves the whole world that he sent his son. Once again, one step away from a universal salvation. We cannot accept that as followers of Christ. We need to be very, very careful. We are children of God because God adopts us. He brings us into his family as his children in Jesus Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not come to the cross, you are not a child of God in the sense that this text tells or indicates. That might be hard for you to hear, and maybe the first time you've ever heard it. But I thought I was a child of God growing up until somebody for 4 hours shared the gospel with me, and God used his Holy Spirit to show me my need of adoption and forgiveness of my sins. That's what God did on his side of things. And by that adoption, we become sons and daughters of God. And from that, we cry out, Daddy. From the depths of our being, we cry out to Almighty God intimately as our Father. And it's a wonderful thing. It is a close, intimate, personal relationship. Is there a family resemblance for you to Almighty God? A couple weeks ago when I got my hair cut, I walked out. And Andrew said to me, you look like Uncle Derek. That's my brother. I have my mother's eyes and my father's nose. I'm starting to get my father's belly. My wife told me that the other day. You look like your dad. Thursday night, one of Jan Fugelseth's son-in-laws came up and slapped me on the shoulders and introduced himself, and I didn't recognize him. He's been here before. He might be here today. I've been looking around, but I can't find him. But in any case, introduces himself, and he asks if I'll pray for Jan and give her a call, maybe do a visit. And the name sounded familiar to me. And then I mentioned, because it's the same name as somebody sitting here, and I said, you know, we have a sheriff's deputy that works in law enforcement with Lundy. Yeah, that's my brother. And if I would have just looked at Mike a little closer, as I turned to look at him and looked at his eyes, it's unmistakably Brian's brother. Right? Yeah. Unmistakably, you could just see the resemblance. There are some people that adopt international children from horrible situations, and they bring them into their families, and they come here, and they learn the English language, and they do everything they can to retain the culture of the individual child. There are positive and negatives to that, but it's interesting that they would bring from a different culture by adoption a child into their family, an intimate, close, personal relationship. Is there a family resemblance? Do people see Almighty God in your eyes? Do you have your Father's eyes through Scripture, through His Spirit? Because God has given us those things, and we don't deserve them. That's His grace that has done that. Are you actively developing an intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father by which you do cry out, Daddy? Or is He just the strict disciplinarian? Or is He the cosmic Santa Claus that just gives you whatever you ask for? Or do you know Him intimately and personally, better than the person you've been married to for 22 years? Develop that intimate relationship with Him. Spend time. Look at what He said. Talk to Him. Relate to His other children. And you get to know Him. There is a combination here that's also beautiful, and it's the next verse. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. There's a combination of God's Holy Spirit working together in our spirit that give testimony that we are the sons and daughters of God. Never forget that. I told you the story on that side of how Al and Beth shared the gospel with me. But God's Holy Spirit was working in me to convict me of my sins at that very time and to bring faith to me that I might respond to the presentation of the gospel. Not only because my spirit cries out, Father, but because His Holy Spirit testifies with that, I know, that's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? I know that I'm a child of God. I'm not ashamed of that. That's not pride. That's the fact. And from there, I work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Last one, really quick. Because God graciously brings us into His family and into intimate, deep relationships, and Christians ought to be, are all in, beloved. Two? Observe the family resemblances. And three, beware of lollipops and gummy bears. We are adopted children. Woohoo! And if children, heirs, wow, we get an inheritance. Heirs of Almighty God. God owns everything. But you know what? God never dies. So I don't know how we're going to get our inheritance. No, that's not what it means. We're privileged and positioned as a child of Almighty God. We are heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. Reminder, it's in Christ. To Christ is given everything. And we are fellow heirs with Him, not on equal par, but sharing through Him. And then, oofta, what is it that we get? If indeed we suffer. The oxymoron of the Christian life is that we were not brought into the family of God for lollipops and gummy bears. We were brought into the family of God to suffer with Christ. A young man in Matthew's gospel came up to Christ and said, I'll follow you. And Jesus says, oh, really? The foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Ladies, how much do you love your homes? And if God kicked you out tomorrow, would you be okay following Jesus Christ without a place to lay your head? Ooh, now you're meddling, Pastor. Guys, if you couldn't provide that meal for your family, or go fish, foxes have holes and the birds have nests. That's Matthew chapter 8. But the oxymoron is well worth it, because that suffering in God's kingdom, the way God has ordered things for his children who suffer in this place with Christ, so that we may be glorified with Christ, we will see heaven and God will be glorified. It's a kingdom principle. It's in the context of mortifying our flesh, of putting to death the deeds of the flesh by his Spirit, how we do that. Do you deserve to be God's heir? No, you don't. That's his grace. Do you deserve to be adopted by God? No, you don't. That's his grace. Do you deserve the gospel of your salvation? No, beloved, you don't. That's his grace. Do you deserve an intimate personal relationship with Almighty God? No, you don't. That's his grace. Do you deserve glory, heaven, life? No, you don't. And neither do I. That is his grace. And that grace that was operating in and through my father-in-law the day before my senior year in high school continues to operate every day in my adoption and in yours. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, to know that all who are led by the Spirit are your sons and daughters. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to respond to the gospel today. If we have never trusted Jesus Christ, never entered into an intimate personal relationship with you, never been adopted, that today might be that day, that we understand our need, that we realize by your Holy Spirit that we are still in bondage to sin and death by trying to live a righteous enough life to deserve your favor. Lord, if we've never said, I can't do this, work that now by your Spirit and by your grace so that we might respond in faith to trust you. But if we have, Lord, by your grace, may we live and move and have our being in Christ our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. We will conclude our time this morning by singing your name.